Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
This is what, 2010? No. Did I already get it wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, usually I throw the year out and I realize I have no idea what year it was.
2013.
Okay. It feels so much longer ago.
Yeah, it feels more than 5 years ago, but I guess like... When was Cloverfield? That was like 2008, right? Like right at the beginning of 2008. And that kind of, I guess, restarted this. Because I don't know if there was a kaiju movie. I mean, I'm sure there was. Like, but I don't think there was like an...
2008.
Yeah, I don't think there was like an American kind of monster movie like this between Godzilla 98 and Cloverfield. That I can, off the top of my head, I can't think of. So this was a couple years after that. So, but what's weird about this movie is it's kind of like, it's fresh in my mind, but it's not as fresh as when we reviewed Shin Godzilla or Skull Island. So it's just, for me, it's just kind of this weird in between. And I didn't know how to take my notes because I'm like, I know the movie. I don't know what to note down. So I basically just took notes that centered around the monsters and the fights.
That's good. You mean because you knew the movie, you didn't think to write things down?
Well, I mean, I didn't know what to focus notes on because nothing was really a surprise. Like when we watched, movies, it's usually either one, you haven't seen, one I haven't seen, or one that we haven't seen in a long time. So like Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, like stuff started surprising me.
Okay, sure.
Like the ape faces and all the crazy stuff in that movie, like Godzilla coming out of a building.
Right.
And so with this one, it's like there's nothing surprising because it's still kind of fresh in my mind. But I'm not like super excited about it because it's like 5 years old and it's not like I just... Like when we saw Kong Skull Island... We had just finished watching it.
Right. Have you seen Pacific Rim since you saw it in theaters?
I watch it occasionally. I have it on iTunes, and I probably watch it maybe once every year, maybe.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because like once a year, I'll get in this mode of watching Godzilla movies. That kind of changed with this show.
Right.
But there would be like a section of the year, usually around November, December, I start getting back into James Bond movies, and then around summertime, I start getting into Godzilla movies, and I'll just watch like all of them. And so I'll usually pop on Pacific Rim.
As a palate cleanser, or like at the end,
just to watch, monsters beating up robots.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the fact that this is legendary as well. It's kind of like the first time Legendary was doing giant monsters, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. And then from this, Godzilla came, and then Skull Island, and now in, I think, a month from now is the sequel to Pacific Rim. We decided to do this episode, just so listeners know, we decided to do this episode now because originally the sequel was slated to come out in like 2 weeks. And so we're trying to fit the sequel into our normal lineup, and then it got pushed back a month. So that episode will probably be a bonus episode because I think it comes out like 2 days, 3 days before we have to post it.
Okay.
There's one thing in this movie, and I posed this on Twitter, is in the movie, Charlie Day says that the kaiju try to come before, and that was the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I don't remember that from previous viewings.
And he also talks about them having two brains.
Yeah. Now here's the thing.
About the dinosaurs having two brains?
Yeah.
And I was like, what's this dinosaur with two brains? I think
the Brachiosaur or the Brontosaurus has two brains, right?
No. Well, apparently... They had this theory, like Stegosaurus had a part where like the cavity in his hips was big as well, Like, so, like, and bigger than his head brain cavity. So they thought he's got, like, a butt brain as well.
Oh, okay.
But I think most people have pretty much ruled that hypothesis out.
Okay. I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Jurassic World.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. Okay, so they're saying this is the dinosaurs. But I was like, wait, so are they saying that the original the dinosaurs were the original kaiju that landed on that ended up on Earth?
Yeah.
Or that they sent the kaiju and they interacted with the dinosaurs.
And the dinosaurs killed them? Wow. The way they made it sound is like dinosaurs were early versions, but they couldn't withstand our environment. And so through genetic engineering over the years, they became powerful enough to walk our Earth.
Right, right. Because they talk about they do have those moments where they talk about kind of like, thanks to you guys polluting the planet, we made it perfect for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the air quality was way different during Dinosaur Land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wasn't there like more of something? I'm not an expert. It's like, I just like the pictures. It's like, I don't know, there's some more of something else in the air than normally.
But anyway, this brings up a question for me.
That's my scientific statement.
Dinosaurs. Should dinosaur movies be added to our list?
Oh.
There's movies like The Valley of Guanji, I think, which is like cowboys versus
that should dinosaurs. Definitely be on our list for sure.
So that's just a dinosaur, but where do we draw the line? I mean, do we start putting Jurassic Parks in there?
Right. That's a good question. The same. I came up with another kind of issue. It's similar is dragons in fantasy movies.
Oh,
because I had to rent Pacific Rim because my copy of it is on the mainland. And so when I rented it, there were so many trailers at the beginning on this DVD because I got it from Netflix. And one of them was like a, you know, medieval fantasy style movie. And there was this giant dragon in it. And I was like, oh, shit, does this count?
Yeah, I don't. It's hard to say because, like, I would say, like, okay, The Lost World, the sequel to Jurassic Park, like, the last half hour of that movie.
Oh, totally.
I would consider that a kaiju movie. So do we.
Yeah.
Is it.
That they have to interact with buildings?
Do they have to rampage? Do they. I don't know what the thing is. Someone on Twitter said they have to be more than 30 feet tall, which I didn't know if there was a you know, the term kaiju was specific to, it had to be a certain height to be considered.
I don't think it. I think because I thought isn't there? There's also daikaiju.
Yeah, doesn't that mean like large monster?
Yeah, really bad. I thought kaiju was just monster, and daikaiju was large monster. So technically, we're the daikaiju podcast in theory. But anyway, any monster would count.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were just kind of playing with the idea of doing at one point the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Which isn't a giant at all.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's if right now, like, is it related to Godzilla? Okay. You know,
I think maybe, the way to go is we can add stuff to like Valley of Guanji should be on the list.
Yeah.
Totally. So I'll put that on there. And then like, maybe we can put these other stuff on there, but we'll see when we actually get around to doing those.
Yeah, listen, it's not like we have a mission statement, you know. I think it's like we're just gonna go with our gut. If it's a movie we want to see, this is a place to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know. And eventually, we'll get to a part where we feel like we're scraping, and we're like, I don't know.
I guess, and
we'll move on to our Thunderbirds podcast.
Oh yeah, and then Stingray.
Wait, yeah, the whole series.
Well, the thing is, I guess we're going to break this 30 feet rule, which I didn't create, but we're probably going to break it on our next episode.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, because the creatures we're talking about next episode are not more than 30 feet.
Right.
I think everything's fair game, and we'll just get to all this stuff eventually.
Yeah, I think it's the rule of kaiju is it bigger than it occurs in nature?
Yeah. What's the did you mark down the definition of kaiju from the beginning of Pacific Rim?
No, did you?
No, I didn't. But I think
it's a giant monster. I think it's a giant. It said big or something.
Like yeah.
But I was like, I don't know.
Dinosaurs are pretty big.
They are big.
Yeah. Huh.
You see, there's this, there's a book. I remember there's a book that about dinosaurs where they talk about how like, I like how like the way they draw dinosaurs evolves over time.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my old books, they have like the way Tyrannosaurus Rex used to stand like upright.
Yeah.
And like with his tail dragging.
Mm-hmm.
And like you see it in like the old animated movies and stuff,
or
like that.
Or in like the diorama at Disneyland.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then they felt like no, he kind of like leaned forward and like he kind of the balance with the tail and stuff. So then they had to change all these pictures. But there's another group that this people were talking about, like this is based on bones, and they're like, this is like if you use the same logic that you had on dinosaurs and you found a cow's bones, you would draw them like this, and it's this really svelte, ripped kind of cow.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's interesting. So they had like pictures of like dinosaurs that were like chunky or like, you know, more cow-ish. They had all kinds of like other ways that they could interpret dinosaur remains.
And, yeah, that's like on like the History Channel or something where they find a skull and then they start adding clay to it and they say how the face would look. And I'm like, how do you know that?
Oh. Oh yeah. Whenever I go to New York, I always like to go to the Natural History Museum, and they have these great displays, and it'll be like just like a shin bone and a wireframe of this giant elephant-sized beast. it's like based on this shin bone, this is how much, you know, they have all this other parts of them, and it's like going, all right, if you say so.
Yeah. Let's get the beginning of this movie because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I like that this movie starts with the conceit that we're already in this. Kaiju are a part of life now.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, it's like there's no like what's this new like, you know, when Godzilla shows up and you know where they're like there's a lot of talking about it, like I don't know, there's something going on in the water, yeah. A bunch of ships are disappearing. This is just like. So this is how life is now. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this already for a while, and we're doing all right, but we're not doing great.
Yeah. There's a couple of kaiju. I gave up trying to look them up.
Yes.
I wish there was a concise data bank that just had a picture and a name in the order they are in the movie. But one of them is definitely Knifehead, and then the other one I called, like, Axehead.
Well, Knifehead's the first one when we get to present day that shows up, right?
That's the one that kills
his brother.
His brother.
Yeah.
So that was like 7 years ago? Or did this last seven
five.
Years?
It was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The thing was, yeah, I think they jumped ahead 5 years. Yeah.
Okay.
But the one before, like the kaiju that they're just like the one that destroys Golden Gate Bridge
mm-hmm.
was like the first one they talk about. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the kaijus look like sharks. There's definitely a shark quality, like hammerheadish or, you know, other like that. They're all black and crunchy looking, like they like their skin's got great texture. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the kaiju monsters are amazing looking. And they all have that same kind of black kind of.
It's like they took
plate like.
It's like they took every famous kaiju from other movies, and then gave them a uniform.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
a black uniform, like almost a like a Tron, like a Tron type.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
uniform.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, there's definitely ones I go, oh, that's like that. I wish I would have loved to also learn like. Because, like, the names that they get named, like, like if there was, like, a system, like, because they immediately get named. They get named as soon as they show up. There's, like, hey, we already named them already.
Yeah,
And they don't like. There's like how much time? Like there's one guy who just like give us the first thing that comes to your head, you know, and it's like the first thing he said. Like one part is like, all right, this one I'm gonna call Otashi, and this one I'm gonna call Leatherback. What? Yeah.
I don't know why it's called Otashi. I like that the one's called Knifehead because I guess if there's a two monster breach, you would be able to decipher which one. So if there's two Jaegers fighting and you say you fight Knifehead and you fight Leatherback, you would know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's good that the names are simplified. I don't know what Otashi means though. I don't know. I really wish I had a really concise list, but the only things I found were where you had to like open a link to see the picture.
Right. You want it basically on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we're just jumping all over in this. We're just kind of like it's all the monsters in general. All the what? You found one?
Oh no, I found an image that had all of them with their names underneath. Here we go.
So, anyways, I'm just gonna talk while you look stuff up. That I liked. Yeah. So and also in the opening. The all the different types of news footage and film archive stuff as they announce they go through the whole history and the whole thing to get us up to speed. He's just really good at creating mythology and the things that go along with it. I mean the whole notion that okay, we need to essentially make our own kaiju to fight them, which is the best or my favorite way to fight a kaiju anyways.
Yeah.
And then this whole idea, the concept that one you had to mentally link with the robot to control it.
Yeah.
And it was too much for one human to do. And so they then invented a way for two people to do it.
Yeah, at first I didn't like that concept.
Yes.
I thought it's kind of, it seems, I don't know.
I don't mean yes, I agree with you. I'm just saying yes, I get your point.
But when Charlie Day starts futzing around with that technology, then I get excited. You know, like, cause I'm like, it feels so complicated to watch it and a little frustrating to watch two people try to control it.
Yeah.
And I mean,
get you.
It's, I don't know, but for him to be able to use that technology to drift with the kaiju brain.
Yeah. And
I was like, okay, well, at least that brings something more to the story. Yeah.
I just think it's a cool original idea about it.
Yeah.
And I thought that I liked it. In that it was like, oh, okay, I'll go with you on this. I'm following along. also the notion though, it's like that you would link brains with someone. And it's like, I don't know if I want someone to go and know everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep secrets with them.
And it seems like as soon as they drift, it's always like the worst memories. It's her as a child being chased by the sea monster, and then him, you know, getting defeated by Knifehead and watching his brother die. Like, it's immediately, like, the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they... Yeah. Yeah, but it's like... But I also like the... Yeah. It's like all your memories. So it's like any, like, internet porn you watched, that's all in there.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're like they, like it's so it's like oh, it's like one that one guy links with his dad. It's like oh, or the other one who links with the like it's like oh, we know that they're gonna be romantic with each other, and then they're gonna link and it'd be like oh, but they're not that far in the relationship. So it's like oh, I know, I know what you're fantasizing about.
I sent you a picture. It's a drawing that someone did of all the kaiju and the robots from the movie. They're just like rough drawings, and they but they have all their names attached to them. All
right, that's cool.
It'll be it's a crude, but it's an easy way for us to figure this stuff out. And what's kind of cool about this is it kind of says who they're based on wait. Underneath.
It does?
Yeah.
Well, some of them.
Yeah, some of them.
Oh, that's cool.
So this will help us out.
Oh, yeah, because I was trying to figure out what was the one. Like, wait a minute. I'm confused. All right. So is Tress, which one's is Trespass? Are these in order? Are these in chronological order?
It looks like it is.
Ish, or as they appeared in the movie?
Yes. And the
okay.
The only Jaeger I don't see is Idris Elba's.
From the past?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, the beginning of the movie has Axe Head and Trespasser. The axe sort of face.
You mean Knife Head and Trespasser? Because you said Axe Head.
Oh.
And I was like, why didn't they name Trespasser Axe Head?
No, that's what I meant. Knife Head.
Okay, so Trespasser. So then
he's the one that crashes through the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes. Okay, so because like there also is a quality they kind of do look similar sometimes. Mm-hmm. Certain ones.
Yeah.
What is that one called? Skunner?
Yeah, he's got like kind of the bull horns.
Oh, that guy. Okay, but I feel like it. There's one because I wanted to look up one Mutavore. Mutavore. Is Mutavore? Mutavore's not in this picture.
He's the one Mutavore that crashes through Sydney.
Yeah, he breaks through the wall and goes attacks Sydney. Yeah, because I was like I really liked his head. Yeah, they're all cool looking. Okay, good. Okay, where are we?
We're still at the beginning.
Yeah, all right. So mental load. The other thing is like this the tone of this movie definitely falls in line with like Starship Troopers, or it's mm-hmm. the notion that you feel like you're watching one of those war propaganda movies.
Uh-huh.
And then they even go so far as they say the word propaganda in the opening when they talk about how like they become toys and everything and it's
and they're becomes, burning the they're burning the like the statue of the kaiju.
Oh the big effigy yeah
that whole beginning's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that beginning, and then it cuts to is his name Beckett.
Yeah. Beckett.
It cuts to him working on a wall, which kind of looks cool, but
but what about Knifehead and his brother getting killed?
Oh yeah, you want to talk about that?
His brother tells him not to get cocky.
Yeah,
very Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that spine thing. How it's like it's clacking, like it's hungry. It can't wait to get on your back.
Yeah.
The look the rainy night always looks amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely. All the fights were at night and wet. It just looks so cool.
Yeah. And then the saving of the boat and watching the Jaeger like hold it gently and then like kind of push it along the water during the fight.
Yeah.
The destruction of the Jaegers looks really cool too. Like when Knifehead slices through the body and it just like shreds it like a tin can.
Yeah, a lot of arms getting ripped off. Did you ever play that game Shadows of Colossus?
I haven't.
It also feels like that a lot.
Yeah.
It was just like visually a really amazing game, and it was like basically you ride on a horse and you come across a monster, and the monsters have these you got to figure out what their weak spots are. But there's one where you're like you got to keep trying to climb up his back. Because he's got all these like balconies on his back you climb up to. And then there's like another one where you got to stab him underneath one of his feet and stuff. It's just really kind of a cool concept of the game that, you know, it's never kind of been recreated.
What I like about this movie, too, is that all the Jaegers and Kaiju feel really, really big.
Yeah.
Like their movements are really slow and lumbering.
There's definitely a weight to the whole thing. Like the way they control them too, like that thing of them having to like take the steps together, mm-hmm. definitely feels like there is a physical exertion to being able to actually work them.
Yeah, I don't know about the sequel, but from what I've seen in the trailer, it looks like they don't have that kind of weight to them.
Uh-huh.
The Jaegers move around a lot quicker.
I've been avoiding.
I know. And then I have a friend who visited ILM, and I guess the animation director told him that they were kind of bummed that they didn't get Pacific Rim 2. And that's one of the things they noticed was that they don't have that same weight to them.
The first one?
In the second one, they don't have the weight. They did the first one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But not the second. And that's the thing I like about this movie. You could say that the fights are slow, but they look so heavy. And the way when the kaiju grapple the Jaegers.
Yeah.
They're just like holding each other, and you could just see like just feel the weight. Like it's something that they did in the Godzilla movie.
Yeah, it's like as opposed to like when you see like the Transformers fight.
Yeah, where they're like jumping around, but these are
they're all over the place.
These have to be at least like three times as big as like the Transformers, I think.
Yeah. The other thing is like there was so much at the beginning of this movie, and then you go, oh, we haven't even seen the title card yet.
Yeah, it's when it finally shows up. 17 minutes, I think. Somewhere around there.
I wasn't fully clear on what the wall plan was.
I guess to keep monsters out,
but
as we saw in Sydney, it doesn't work.
Yeah, but from Alaska to California, like it's just gonna go. Is it gonna go all along the entire coast of both North and South America? And like, is it gonna make a circle at some point? Like, what?
Yeah.
As to how do they? Luckily, they proved it was a bad idea right away.
Yeah, but it's weird that they were building one after the one in Sydney already went down.
Yeah, that's bureaucracy.
Yeah. And Sydney's not even in the Pacific, right? Or Australia?
Yeah, so there's like...
Is there an Atlantic? They probably
stole the idea from Sydney. They're like, well, because it's Pacific Rim, so it's coming out of the Pacific Ocean. By the way, Hawaii's probably gone by now.
Yeah.
If they're just coming out of, so the hole is just off San Francisco then?
I think it's in the middle, yeah.
In the middle of the ocean?
I think so.
But it doesn't seem like they're going out all the way out to the middle of the ocean. Is that where they went out in the middle of the ocean when they were going to go drop the payload and do that old business? That was out in the middle of the ocean?
I didn't see any land, so it would be kind of far, I guess, but I don't know.
Oh, that's where they were. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. They were underwater and stuff. Okay. Middle of the ocean's Hawaii.
Yeah. Maybe it's too small to notice.
Okay.
Because I mean, they said that the kaiju are going. They're trying to wipe us out.
Terraforming. Yeah.
So I mean, if you have something like San Francisco and Sydney are even concerned about Hawaii at this point.
Okay.
Or is that like, oh, I'm just going to take that out real quick because it'll just take a second. Let me just get this and then take out Hawaii. Because like those the kaiju are pretty huge. Like I feel like they can probably take out all five islands in like a day easily. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really big. So who knows? I don't know if it was addressed. It would be interesting. So you want to talk about the Shatter Dome?
Sure.
So the Jaegers in there are Crimson Typhoon, Cherno Alpha, Striker Eureka, and Gypsy Danger. Those are the main four. And I always liked the Cherno Alpha.
That's the big tin can one.
Yeah, it looks like it's just like a tank. It's like a Russian tank.
It's like early Iron Man designs.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I saw the movie, I was a big fan of Crimson Typhoon.
Mm-hmm.
I like that he had this extra arm.
Yeah.
And when they're just working it and they're spinning the blades on it, I thought it looked really cool.
Yeah. Do you want to get into any of these guys?
People?
Yeah. Any of the people in Shatter Dome?
Yeah, well, there's always got to be an asshole.
Uh-huh. Iceman.
He's the Iceman, yeah. And the dog had his balls intact.
Okay, good. I didn't notice.
You didn't?
No.
How can you not notice? It's like there's a whole shot of just following that dog going.
Oh, I guess I wasn't.
I was like, oh, okay. And it's like, when is this jerk going to pay off?
Yeah. Because they're the only two, those guys who are in charge of Striker Eureka, those are the only two we really get to know. The Cherno Alpha guys and the Crimson Typhoon guys, also we know is like they play basketball or they're Russian. Like we don't get a lot from their characters.
Right.
And then that's where we meet Miko.
Mako.
Miko did the Star Wars disco.
There's so many parts that were this kind of, they would get like kind of schmaltzy and mm-hmm. just kind of overly dramatic or emotional about things.
Well, I noticed that.
Like, Elba, I can't have someone else in my head.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff.
And Idris Elba was just like yelling the whole time. Like I didn't realize how much he would just yell.
He would yell. There's a part where he goes, don't let my calm demeanor. Da, 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 you know? And it's like, what are you?
He's yelling. He's so mad.
You just negated the opening of your sentence.
I still like him, but he may be a little bit too yelly. I noticed this time around. It never occurred to me until I watched it this time that he yelled so much.
I really like the character of Gottlieb.
Is he? Which one's he?
He's this mathematician scientist guy. Okay. He's the one with Charlie Day. He's the one who's complaining and.
I liked him. I liked that he was in a bunch of rubble and he needed to throw up, and there was just a toilet sitting there.
Yeah,
I thought that was probably my favorite joke in the movie.
I loved that whole thing where they're because like they're. They call it the what was it, like the bone slums or the...
yeah, and they're selling bone dust.
So the thing that they are clones
mm-hmm.
is
it doesn't come into effect really.
No, and in a sense, it just kind of in the way he described it, they have the same DNA. It's like it's almost like evolutionary in a way, but it was hard to fully get. Like so then. There's other kaiju on the other side that are in charge, and they send these guys as their basically like foot soldiers.
Yeah, because when Charlie Day is drifting with the kaiju brain, there's a shot of several knife heads in a row.
Yes, But there's also like this shot of like a bunch of them like standing around the body of one, like they're doing something to it, an operation or something.
Yeah.
And so then I was like going, so is there a hierarchy then to it, or is it, but because they also talk about it's like a hive mind thing with them, you know, like, so it, they're like ants in a sense where it's like, it's all for the good of the group more than anything.
Yeah.
But there's definitely those like three guys on the side there that look in charge when, the, you know, like when they're sending all the knife heads out.
Yeah.
By the way, you think you'd see a lot more knife heads coming through that rift than that they had so many.
It's that they sent one of
loaded
each.
And ready.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like bullets in like a magazine or something. The way they were like, up. You're ready for them.
Oh yeah,
fire them out the breach.
Yeah.
So the next monster battle is a flashback between is his name Hercules? Is that Idris Elba's name? Is Hercules
Stacker?
Stacker is it Hercules Stacker?
Stacker Pentecost.
Oh, okay. Who's Hercules?
Herc is is he the dad?
He's the dad. That's what it is. Herc Hansen. So there's this fight with a giant crab.
Oh, yeah.
And
totally
I don't know if I just Ebra, wasn't paying attention close enough. Yeah, but it looks like Ebra. It looks like the sea monster. I don't know if I noticed the differences in the monsters the first time I saw it, but I definitely did now. And maybe it's because we're doing the show and I'm paying more attention to the monsters and the names of the monsters.
But I definitely, I felt like I was picking up more details and differences this time, having seen it already. Cause, in my memory, I was like, there was some confusion as to whether which is the one that sprouted wings eventually, in my memories, but being like, oh, does Leatherback fly in this? I forget. And then, you know, then it happened and I was like, oh, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Cause there's a scene, one of those first scenes between, it's the scene when, Beckett is with Mako and he's like trying to tell her to, why won't you fight and do whatever? And he's like, and she says, it's not this, it's respect, that whole scene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where he's like talking about, says, yeah, let me tell you something. It's, but let me tell you, yeah, you do all right in the simulations, but when you're doing it for real, it's blah, blah, blah. and Becky's watching. She's in the room and she's like, Jesus, stop mansplaining. And then it cuts to the moment when she's looking at him and he's got his shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, did she just get wet? Those are the two pieces that Becky contributed to the
fight. Let's talk about this first fight. Crimson Typhoon versus Otachi. And right off the bat, I'm like, okay, Otachi is a crawling kaiju.
Yeah.
Like Angulus and Baragon.
Yeah.
And that, I got excited about that. And he's got a scorpion tail.
Yeah, but it's got like a mouth on it, basically.
Yeah. Like Shin Godzilla, I guess. And then it could shoot the
kaiju. Oh, yeah, a lot blue. Of people had like open hingy
mandibles.
Bottom jaws, yeah.
Yeah. But the Crimson Typhoon, that's where they bust out the saw blade hands.
Yeah.
Which are pretty cool. But I think at one point, Otachi just grabs them, so they're not super effective. They get a couple of slices in, but Otachi, like, grabs them, and then it, like, Typhoon, like, does this kind of handstand above him, twists his legs, and then does, like, this over-the-shoulder flip thing, which is really cool. It's like a kind of a judo move or something.
He's the one that cut his tail off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was like, you see him from the back, he's got the nub.
Mm-hmm. And then during the fight, Cherno Alpha shows up. And that one, it's cool because it just uses like missiles and like the arms look like they're hydraulic.
Yeah.
It's more analog than anything. But they get jacked up. I think, is this when Leatherback shows up? Leatherback shows up and they get taken out by some sort of goo. They get taken out by the Kaiju Blue, and then they drown, and they get held under the water.
Otachi is the one that's got the sack in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's the one that later sprouts the wings.
Yeah.
But Leatherback's the one I remember you saying was your favorite.
Yeah, he's been my favorite since I first saw the movie, for sure. Although I do like Mutavor a lot now. Mm-hmm. Looking at him come through the wall, and he also kind of looks a little bit like the Sydney Opera House because it's got the same kind of like fins. Yeah. And I was like, I thought that it's that cool look because it looked like, because you couldn't like kind of like I couldn't see his eyes. He just looks like he's got like a blade head and a mouth, and it was almost like that thing in the junkyard on Walking Dead that's like that covered his face. He's just got a bunch of nails sticking out of his helmet. But yeah, just because Leatherback's the gorilla.
Yeah, and that didn't occur to me either, but it was very noticeable. It was like really noticeable this time around.
Oh, you didn't, when you first saw it, you didn't think of him as a gorilla?
I didn't think, I don't know what I thought. I was just like, oh, they're just giant monsters. And it might just be because of, I wasn't looking at the shape more, I was looking at like the textures of like the sort of like scaly skin with the lines going through them and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the Tron.
Yeah, and then the faces.
The Tron lines.
Yeah, all the faces are kind of more shark or bug-like.
Right.
So I didn't really think of it as a gorilla, but the fact that it's called Leatherback, which, you know, is like reminiscent of like Silverback and stuff. And sure, it's really, it's really obvious now that I watch it.
Well, he's like, he pounds on the ground with his fists and stuff. Like he's just like one step away from pounding on his chest. Yeah. I did thought it was cool when they grab him by one of the ridges on his head and just start pounding on it, but they just hold him by one of the head ridges.
Uh-huh.
It's like, there's a lot of great damage to these monsters as well. Like the damage to the machines was cool too, but yeah, the damage to the monster is just like the skin breaking,
like the blue blood.
It's so cool.
And I think that's what's cool about this is like, I mean, since CG's been around, we have like the 80 or the 98 Godzilla. And then we have Cloverfield. And then this is like the first one where we get like fights. And so it's cool to see the creatures fighting. And so, yeah, this is like the first time we actually get to see damage, like actual, like, you know, monsters fighting.
Yeah, just tearing their arm off, just blasting their arm off.
And the Jaegers get messed up too, which is cool. You think, oh, they're going to be indestructible. They're the good guys, but they actually get damaged. I like that the fight goes from the ocean into the city.
Yeah.
When Leatherback throws Gypsy Danger into the city, into like this boatyard.
Yeah.
And it does my favorite thing since King Kong versus Godzilla is when King Kong picks up the tree and uses it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Gypsy Danger starts grabbing anything it can.
When he's dragging the boat, and he's holding it with one hand, dragging it behind him, like it's a baseball bat that he's kind of concealing a little bit.
Yeah,
it's so badass,
and it looks like there's weight to it. It's not like he's just pulling it alongside. Like he's actually pulling this heavy thing.
Yeah, this was like this fight was so good. Just like one on top of another, just like awesome. And then on top, and then they just keep adding to it. To the, you know, the getting, the cutting out the tail, yanking the sack out. Mm-hmm. Surprise, he's got wings. And it's like, surprise, we totally forgot we have a sword on this thing.
Yeah, they've been using boats and freight cars. But yeah, we got a sword. One of my favorite things happens. We have a kaiju walking through a building.
Yeah, he jumps through it.
Yeah.
And then, I was like, they do it with much more grace than like just like the walking upright, slowly walking through it.
Yeah, like it's a butter.
The fact that they have babies, they could be pregnant, even though they're clones. They could still be pregnant.
And the baby walks on two legs. And they
have umbilical cords.
Yeah, that was crazy. Which reminds me, I didn't watch the post-credit scene. I forgot. I remember what it is, but I forgot to watch it. Because I just stopped it when the credits.
Resurfaces, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the baby kaiju has two legs, kind of like a skull crawler.
Yeah.
And I would like to see what that looks like fully formed. Be interesting.
Yeah, these are you have to save the world movies. There's definitely always someone that's got to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
It's like this moment where it's like, oh, you're not going to be able to, when they're telling Idris Elba, she's like, yeah, you won't survive doing this. And it's like, this is more important. Yeah. That's always very, the sacrifice is always a crucial step to all this. It's like Armageddon.
And then he's going to be teamed up with the a-hole. And he's got to learn to
become. And so then the asshole's got to turn around. And be like, and the same thing that his dad. It's like, that's my son.
Yeah,
listen, it's like it's schmaltzy emotional, but I was getting emotional about it. I was like, I wrote when Idris Elba was like gonna get in the thing, and I'd be like, oh no, this is a suicide mission. I was like, that's the sacrifice this movie requires. And then he gives his speech. And he's like, da, da, da. And from now on, it will be known as our Independence Day. The father and son scene,
all that stuff. Did he say goodbye to the dog? I don't remember that, but probably. So they're going to the breach to take a big bomb, but it's not going to work unless they have a genetic code of a kaiju,
right?
Which is kind of cool. Because it seems like a plan that they said they've tried before and it never worked. And now they've unlocked the secret to why it didn't work.
Yeah.
So the stage is set for the final battle, which is pretty cool. You get some underwater guys here.
Yeah, like the one that's swimming around a lot. And it's like, I don't see him. I think I liked the one that they call Slattern.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, he has the tentacles and he kind of spins them around to create like a whirlpool effect.
I thought he kind of looks like the Hammerhead from the Star Wars movies.
Oh yeah, I know.
Did you ever
see Pitch Black? The movie Pitch Black. He kind of looked like a cross between that. There's these Hammerhead monsters in that. You should look up the character design because I think you would like they're crossed between the trespasser or whatever. It's like a Hammerhead and
I don't think I've seen this movie.
It's the first Riddick movie with Vin Diesel.
Are these guys in the sand?
They're in a desert, yeah. And they only show up at night.
Yeah.
Because they have sensitivity towards
the light. I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
And he can see them, or
yeah, he can see.
He's the only one who can see them. Yeah.
And then we get the class 5.
Yeah, that's never been unheard of.
Yeah,
that's just how big he is. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's a class 5 has never been heard of before, and a 3 kaiju breach.
Right.
So both happen at the same time. Just happen to be when they're doing their big attack on this thing.
Right.
Stryker Eureka sacrifices himself and does this crazy explosion underwater.
Yes.
And is it so big that it clears the water completely from the surface or from the floor of the ocean?
It was hard to kind of tell what was going on because it was dark and stuff, but there's a moment where you see the fish flapping.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they get hit by waves. So I definitely feel that it completely blew the water away, and then it all kind of came flowing back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The other thing that when they suggested that they need to somehow take a monster with them, or some that it would read the DNA of the monster, is there's that moment when they take the sword and they slice down the body. Uh-huh. And they split them open completely down the middle.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that they should open them up like a tauntaun and wear them a little bit, wear them like a costume, like they have like a big robot trying to put on that outfit and going like, no one here but us kaiju. That was what I would have wanted.
I would have loved it.
So, okay, so then they can go, right? It's like they're dragging a body with them, but then this other body comes and starts fighting them from the front, and they end up just kind of
grappling.
jumping on that guy and pushing him, taking him down.
Yeah, it was like let's try it with this dead one, and they're like, oh wait, like, this is better. We can get a live one.
We're just gonna get this, take this one with us.
Yeah.
And then they go down to this area, and when they go through, it's like, oh, it's kind of like when Big Hero 6 goes into the, whatever the other thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember.
He goes into like a black hole or something like that, or goes into some kind of like rift thing. No idea?
I don't remember that. I remember the nanobots.
He goes somewhere. He goes through this area that's like
Dayglo.
And it's like, oh, he's not going to be able to. He's the same idea, almost like he won't be able to come back.
Okay, yeah, I remember this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it totally looks like that.
Yeah, that's what those places look like.
Uh huh.
The other dimensional places.
Purples and blues.
Yeah, it's.
So they make it through. They make it through and they detonate the bomb. And I don't know why I thought this was what happened, but as Gypsy Danger kind of floats down into their lair, I don't know why I thought it was giving him the bird as it went down in my memory.
Did he have a sword out?
I don't know. This is just something I just remembered or wanted to happen, but clearly that wasn't the case. This is go ahead.
There's definitely a lot of like things that remind you of Independence Day in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like it whenever we're sticking it to the aliens and saving the world, when they have that moment where the alien reacts.
Yeah, the close up of the face.
The what the fuck moment for the alien to be like, yeah. What? Like, sucka, boom.
Yeah. That exactly reminded me. This is the only part that I have a problem with in this movie. Is the way this ends. The whole movie, we've established that the head of Gypsy Danger comes off.
Yes.
And I was hoping that when they released the bomb, that the whole head would eject.
Oh, and go to the surface. Great.
I know. And I was like, oh, they introduced these life raft things at the end. And I'm like, oh, it would have been cool because in like a sequel, you can still have that piece of Gypsy Danger. Because at the beginning of the movie,
you can build a new body for it.
Yeah, because they rebuilt it from the beginning 16 minutes, you know. And it'd be cool if they still had that piece of it to build off of. So it's still kind of this indestructible, constantly, you know, building this machine that's constantly being built and rebuilt. And it turns into like, kind of like this Millennium Falcon type of thing where it's like, it's the Kaiju, or it's the Jaeger, and it's like cobbled together with different parts. And it's already been rebuilt once in this movie. And now we have a chance to rebuild it again. And it would just be cool to see the head floating in the water at the end. But no, I don't know why. I mean, it was right there. It's right there. The whole movie, they kept showing the head being detached from the body, and then in the last 5 minutes they introduced these life pods. I'm like, oh, it's so close.
Yeah, because I liked the head going down. It was very like Trendsor Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of feeling, I was remembering that first moment when you see the rebuilt Gypsy Danger,
mm-hmm.
and they're staring at it, and he's like, she's beautiful. There's a moment where it's like, it's like talking about how beautiful she is, and it almost felt like Mako was a little jealous. He's like, Jesus, will you marry that robot?
Get a room.
Oh, are these robots? No, right?
Would they be considered mechs?
They're body armor? Yeah.
Technically, I guess they're mech suits. They look painful to operate. And those guys
lock onto your spine.
Yeah, and they were getting thrown around a lot.
You gotta put a giant centipede on your spine.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your favorite? I mean, obviously this can change with time, as other people in this movie. What is your current favorite feature on a Jaeger?
There's that one, the one at the beginning in Sydney, where the chest opens up and then the missiles come out.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
I really like that. or I would say the elbow rocket.
Yeah, yeah, that was mine. Yeah, it was like I was like elbow rocket, and I was like, oh, it's like because like in like because again, when I was thinking of like Transorzians, like the where they like it's like they like the old Shogun warrior robots, like you could shoot whole fists out at things. And then it's like, listen, we're going to have to go either rebuilding or go finding a fist. Uh-huh. So we're just going to basically build a rocket to propel the elbow forward so the punch is that hard.
Yeah.
I liked it too.
And I like that they say elbow rocket, like Austin Powers saying judo chop. Uh-huh. I like that to say it. Even though their brains are connected, they have to say it out loud.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, there's definitely like someone yelling at the other people what to do. Yeah. Do this.
And then I think my favorite kaiju is the knife head.
Yeah.
And it's driving me crazy that we haven't seen the original knife head from Gamera.
I know, we're still so far away. It's like the last Gamera movie. We thought, oh, this one's going to be that guy. Because
and it wasn't.
For a while, we didn't know who it was. And they were like, oh. And then we've seen a video of that knife head chopping off the arm wings of...
Gauss.
And I was like, oh, gosh, when are we going to get to it? And then I was like, let's... Because like after we saw this, I was like, hey, we got it. Let's just put another... Let's get there. Let's watch it. Because I thought it was the next one. And then you tell me it's not the next one. The next one's the pointy octopus.
I think what's going to happen is because we've been doing a Godzilla movie every other episode. I think right now we're in a mode where we're going to do Gamera's every other episode just so we can get to
Knife Head. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I think that's
cool
where we're at, and it'll give us a little more time to
we'll get there.
Yeah, I like this movie still. I'm.
I do too. You know what else? These giant robots. None of them had weird knees.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Didn't even notice any knees.
Nope.
So
good job.
They didn't have.
I did notice Gypsy Danger's butt once.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. when he was in the docks and he was picking up freight cars, there was a shot of his. Yeah. There was an ass shot.
Yeah, I like how these have to be designed to be able to work in the ocean.
Oh, and another thing happened was when Stryker Eureka was incapacitated and they're shooting the flares at Leatherback's face.
Yeah.
And then Leatherback's going to take him out, but then Gypsy Danger shows up.
Yeah.
Leatherback does that thing where, oh no, there's a giant robot. I must fight it instead of finishing off these guys. So he does that thing where instinctively he's got to fight the other giant monster. So it had that in it too. I like this movie a lot. I'm cautiously optimistic about the sequel. I mean, I want it to be good, obviously, but we'll see. We'll see. You haven't seen the trailers.
No.
But it's going to be giant monsters and robots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think I'll be fine with it. There's a reminder of like just actually last night. A friend of mine had texted me. He had just finally gotten around to seeing Skull Island.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he did not like it.
Oh, really?
And he was like, texting me that Skull Island isn't good. Actually, I got it right here. I can find it. He was like, Skull Island is no good. How did he start it? He says. We ended up having a long discussion, but he says, he's like, so Skull Island is horrible, sadly. Great talent. Makes me want to write a Kong movie. And I just wrote back, disagree. And then he's like, what? You liked it? I wrote, loved it. And he goes, what hooked you? And I said, giant ape. I mean, we went into more detail anyways, but like I was like, what hooked me? Yeah, giant ape. That had me.
Yeah.
And then when I was really sitting and it was just kind of like, of course, you know, you can get this all on our Kong Skull Island episode, but with the basically
I was like, the moment that really gets me in that movie is just like, it's like they're dropping all these bombs on a helicopter, and then silence, and then a palm tree comes flying out of nowhere. And it's like, I was like, yeah, that was in.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think, yeah, I know I'm going to see it. So it's basically just going through. Yeah, I was going to say I should recommend to him Colossal. yeah, if it is, as long as the robots are big, I'll probably be okay. I keep calling them robots, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when does that come out?
In 1 month, in March. I think okay. March 23rd, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. We're kind of in a, as people know, we're in a weird.
Yeah, we're in a
different time.
You talked about it really well at the beginning of the podcast, though. You definitely you played it up real good. I was like, oh yeah, we're playing secrets.
Oh yeah, this is February. next episode, we're talking about a movie that I hadn't seen before.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and it's I guess would be considered a classic. Because I've known about it. I've known about it forever. I just haven't seen it. And it's the giant ant movie called Them.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't know. They're not bigger than 30 feet. But compared to regular size ants, they're way bigger than regular size ants. So I'm looking forward to talking about that on the next episode. And then you can visit kaijupod.com. And that'll take you to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. No, yeah. That's what we got. And then subscribe and rate and review. That's what we need, is people to rate and review. That's the thing. So that if you type in if you type in Kaiju in iTunes, you can find us, or other people can find us. You've already found us, but we want other people to find us.
Spread the word.
Yeah. So until next time. I know. Until next time, I'm gonna go drift with Jorge.
Oh, I was gonna be like, I'm just gonna relax and let the drift happen. What was the advice you gave her? Don't dwell think on
about
memories.
Your don't think about your yeah, porn history.
Just make it happen. Yeah, I don't know who I'd be comfortable to drift with.
Nobody, right?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, my girlfriend was the closest.
You were talking about, you're like, I only know about the tentacle porn because of the show. I was doing research for It Came From Beneath the Sea. Trust me, I swear.
Well, that reminds me, I ordered a game. It's basically about a romance between a human and an alien. And it's called Consenticle.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah. it was like a Kickstarter or something. So like, I haven't seen it yet, but yeah.
Is it like Sexy Enemy Mine?
Maybe. Enemy Mine. Yeah, see? I don't know if that qualifies.
Is it a kaiju movie?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's a good monster, that guy.
Yeah. All right.